Finally, this oath of eternal allegiance, which the Athenians might have made deliberately ambiguous. The Athenians stood to make a lot of money from their league. And so, would this oath really be no longer binding when the Persian threat was ended? Or would the Athenians find some way to keep the league together and so continue to profit from it and exploit their allies? After all, as I said, there was soon a substantial reserve of money built up on Delos. We'll find out the answers to these questions in the next lectures, so you have to stay with me on them. Now to the second part of my lecture, some of the Delian League's earlier anti-Persian actions. For the first few years of the League's existence, the Athenians kept to the charter, to call it that. The anti-Persian nature of the League is best seen in the activities of the general Cimon. Now, Cimon is the son of Miltiades of Marathon fame. Cimon won signal successes against the Persians on the European side of the Hellespont, and he even tried to clear them out of Thrace. In the process, Cimon had some successes in combating piracy that was now growing rampant in the Aegean. East of Euboea was a little island called Scyrus. It was a pirate base, and this Cimon rid of pirates. He was also supposed to have found there the bones of Theseus, one of Athens's mythical kings. So this was a good move for Athens. Cimon was already a household name from his battles, from finding Theseus's bones. But his reputation was elevated even more in 467 when he defeated a Persian force at the Battle of the Eurymedon River in southern Asia Minor. Well, this battle was actually two. The first one was at sea, where Cimon and an Athenian fleet defeated 200 Phoenician vessels fighting for Persia. And then the second one was on land against a Persian army. In the process, Cimon captured something like 80 ships coming from Cyprus that were being sent to reinforce the Persians. The Delian League then was living up to its promise, where in 467, it was founded in 478, a decade later. We see that it's living up to its promise. It was making some serious inroads in Persian influence in the Greek world. But the manner of Athens's leadership was going to change soon. In fact, it was already changing by the time of the Battle of the Eurymedon River in 467. As the 470s and then the 460s wore on, Athens became more imperialistic in its ventures and less concerned with the rights and privileges of its allies. By the time the 440s arrived, the first open clash with Sparta takes place, what's called the First Peloponnesian War, and we'll look at those things in the next lecture. So we're now done with Herodotus, our contemporary source for the Persian Wars, and we can wave bye-bye to him at this point. For the rise of Athenian imperialism and many of the events of the Peloponnesian War, we turn to the contemporary writer Thucydides, an Athenian general and aristocrat who served in the early stages of this war. Now, I say for many of the events we turn to Thucydides, because his account of the Peloponnesian War concludes in 411, about 7 years before the war actually ended in 404. Since Thucydides will figure prominently in our next set of lectures on the Peloponnesian War, I want to conclude this lecture with some words about him. Thucydides was born in probably 460 and died about 400. The purpose of his work was to describe not merely the Peloponnesian War itself, but also the symptoms of the war, so that if in later times similar conditions occurred, then men would have some guidance as to their cause and probable results. So it's like a warning to future generations.